Did you know you can grow your healthcare practice without sacrificing your well-being? Thriving Practice Community empowers healthcare provider owners to grow their practices without burnout. Our community of practice offers you a proven, impeccably designed method to scale your practice while preserving your most precious assets, your time and energy. We blend business consulting with executive leadership, masterclasses, roundtable discussions, in a private, well-vetted community to bring you what you need most to help you become an agile, entrepreneurial CEO while serving your patients with the utmost attention to their care. You receive real-time coaching and support from me and our professional team, plus access to the collective wisdom of an international community of peers. We provide the support and help you pave the path to grow your practice without working more. To learn more, go to thrivingpracticecommunity.com and click on Join the Waiting List. We are continuing our nutrition and self-care theme with today's episode, and we spent a good amount of time talking about business models today. Welcome to Thriving Practice, the podcast that shines a light on the business side of healthcare, empowering you, our community of medical providers, to grow and thrive in an ever-changing landscape. Today, we have the privilege of hosting Jillian Greaves, a visionary functional dietitian who is at the forefront of transforming women's health through hormone balancing, lifestyle adjustments, and targeted nutrition. In our conversation, we take a peek into the transformative journey of healthcare professionals like Jillian, who are pioneering the shift towards private payment models. This conversation is not just about the mechanics of business, but also about reimagining the way we deliver care, emphasizing autonomy, financial sustainability, and the profound impact of personal growth on professional practice. We explore the journey from traditional hospital settings to the freedom and challenges of starting a private practice. Jillian shares her insights on the potential for financial independence, the psychological hurdles that come with a shift in earning models, and the critical mindset shifts necessary to embrace the full value of one's expertise. We talk about the importance of differentiation in a competitive market, offering practical advice on how healthcare professionals can showcase their unique value propositions. From overcoming the barriers of moving away from insurance-based models to maintaining accessibility, we cover strategies for a seamless transition to a private pay system. Some of the key takeaways from today include understanding your worth, educating your patients on the benefits of private pay, mastering marketing to speak directly to your audience, and providing flexible payment options to ease the transition for your patients should you choose to move into a private pay model. Jillian leaves us with a really powerful message at the end, and it's this: evaluate the benefits and challenges of a private pay model and envision how you can serve your patients in a way that aligns with your values and vision. I invite you to join us in this enlightening conversation. So get comfy and grab something to write with so you can take notes. Let's explore the possibilities of growth, empowerment, and innovation in healthcare practice with our amazing guest, Jillian Greaves. Jillian, it is so good to have you on the show. Thank you so much for coming today.
Thank you so much for having me. I am super excited to be here.
It happens a lot in the, I call it the green room, like my cheeks hurt because we've been laughing and smiling so much. So I'm just going to share. I already know we're going to have a great conversation. I'm really excited to dive in and to share like your journey and your passion for what you do and also the business journey. So I think there's just so much in there that our listeners are really going to learn from. So thank you so much for coming.
Absolutely. I'm excited to dive in. And I'm also feeling the cheek tension over here from laughing before we started recording.
It's going to be good. That's when we know it's going to be good. Well, before we dive in, tell us where you are located in the world.
I am currently located right outside of Charleston, South Carolina. I recently moved here with my husband from Boston, grew up, you know, in Massachusetts, have lived in Boston ever since, you know, undergrad and through grad school, and decided to make a change. So we are now in Charleston, South Carolina.
So from the Northeast to the Southeast.
Yes.
Big change. I think there's a lot of cultural change, but probably the weather is more suitable.
Big upgrade yes. on the weather front. So
yeah, we have actually all of our kids at one point, we have four kids between us, all of them were in the Northeast for a period of time. And we were like, well, we're just going to let you know we're not visiting between November and February. Like,
there's about 4 months that are desirable to visit the Northeast. Yeah. So.
And those others, not so much.
Yeah.
Oh, well, the Carolinas are lucky to have you. And I'm excited to hear, like, what, tell us about your business and also kind of what led you to this, because your background was more in hospital settings mm-hmm. as a dietitian. So tell us kind of, tell us all of that. Tell us how you got here.
Yeah. So, my business is a private practice. So Jillian Greaves Functional Nutrition and Wellness, and I'm a functional medicine dietitian that specializes in women's health. And me and my team really work to support women in identifying and addressing the root causes of their hormone and digestive health symptoms naturally using supportive nutrition strategies, lifestyle support, targeted supplementation, advanced lab testing, really to support the body in getting back to a place of balance and ultimately, you know, significantly improving or eliminating hormone and gut-related symptoms. So that's kind of the gist of what I do, what we do in practice. And we support women, you know, in one-on-one coaching programs, in a group coaching program, and through some of the courses and kind of different self-paced offerings that we have.
Awesome. And so you, I know you have a program that's specific for PCOS. So how did you, went from a hospital setting in endocrine focus, mm-hmm. right? Was that a natural transition for you, or like what drove you to work specifically with women and their hormone imbalance?
And that's a great question. And there's kind of two parts to this answer in terms of my personal experiences and also the professional experiences. On a personal level, about a decade ago, I actually struggled with a lot of my own health-related issues. And to kind of boil it down, or, you know, kind of shorten this a little bit, or to give you the quick and dirty, I had, you know, been on hormonal birth control for over a decade. And, you know, was in a time, you know, in my life where I was working full time in a busy research setting. I was in grad school. I was very busy. Life was very full. And I was kind of burning the candle at both ends. I was running half marathons, doing HIIT training, eating, you know, predominantly a plant-based diet. And I started to experience a lot of really significant symptoms: acne, eczema, anxiety, my hair was thinning, digestive symptoms. And I sought out support from my conventional provider at the time, my PCP, who, you know, basically recommended, oh, you know, if you're experiencing anxiety, we can talk about, you know, anxiety medication. Do you want to use some topical steroids for the eczema? And was kind of offered, you know, every medication under the sun to spot treat symptoms. And this did not sit well with me. And you know, at the time, mind you, I had an undergraduate degree in nutrition, was working on my, you know, master's degree in nutrition, worked in nutrition research, had, you know, what I felt was a wealth of knowledge in terms of the nutrition and kind of health space. And, you know, I was lost. I felt like, you know, what am I doing wrong here? And that kind of stimulated me to start to investigate kind of the birth control piece of things, really to get educated about, you know, female physiology, which I really knew, honestly, nothing about at that time. And just to start to ask questions, to question how my diet, my lifestyle was actually supporting my body. And it motivated me to start to seek out training in functional medicine, which I had no exposure to, in terms of really trying to understand the why. Why are these symptoms happening? Why are they happening now? And I worked for many years, in all honesty, to get to the root of the symptoms that I was experiencing. And it was a frustrating process, but you know, it really led me to understand the power of nutrition, lifestyle, all of these modalities in actually, you know, supporting women and being able to support hormones specifically. And, you know, I did a lot of work to heal my own symptoms, but in all honesty, took me way longer than it should have. And I was really, you know, hacking things together. It was very fragmented, very frustrating for me. And I felt very isolated. So part of what stimulated me to really want to work with women in the, you know, women's health space and kind of in a different way than women are supported traditionally in our healthcare system, you know, I wanted to support women. I wanted to provide women rather with the support that I wished I had had when I was struggling. So that was a big motivator for me. Alongside that, working as an outpatient dietitian in endocrinology at a big hospital, I was often seeing women, and a lot of women specifically with PCOS in this clinic, that would come to me struggling with all of the classic symptoms. You know, they were experiencing rapid acute weight gain, mood related issues, sleep disruption, head hair loss, unwanted hair growth, acne, and they would be, you know, sent to me in this clinic, you know, and recommended appetite suppressants. You know, they were recommended spironolactone, metformin, you know, all of the medications for, again, spot treating symptoms. And it was kind of like, okay, you know, I'm seeing women's health kind of be treated like a game of whack-a-mole, if that's how you say it, in terms of, okay, you know, let's slap a Band-Aid on this symptom and then something else pops up. The other thing I was experiencing in that setting was, you know, providers were sending women to me and recommending, you know, put this individual on a 1200 calorie per day diet. Grown women, that is enough energy for a child. Mm-hmm. And it just felt so misaligned for me. And ultimately what I felt was that in these clinics, it was weight loss above all else, like weight loss above health, which was so frustrating at the end of the day. And, you know, a patient would come in for an appointment and be praised for the 5-pound weight loss on the scale. And then we would get into our appointment and I'd learn that they were essentially starving themselves, you know, skipping breakfast, you know, barely eating anything, you know, their sleep is disrupted. And it just, again, felt so misaligned for me. And, specifically too, it's, you know, I was seeing up to 14 patients in a day. I would have 20 minutes with someone and then my schedule would book out 2 or 3 months and I couldn't follow up with them. And it felt like I was just, it was out of alignment in terms of how I wanted to support women and really the support that I know women deserve to receive that are struggling with these types of symptoms and women's health conditions. So that really motivated me to take action and to start to see clients privately on my own. And I did that when I was still working full-time at the hospital and, you know, started to see women on the side and just fell in love with being able to see women my way and to be able to provide just incredible support to really help women with, you know, sustainable habit change, with really understanding their bodies, their cycles, their hormones, and, you know, seeing the results that women achieved. It was incredibly rewarding to have the opportunity to be a part of that. And within 6 months of starting to see clients privately, I said, you know what, I'm going to take the leap. I'm going to quit my job and I'm going to go all in. And things really snowballed very quickly. And I'm very, you know, very grateful for that. But I think the passion that I have for really supporting women and really changing the landscape of, you know, healthcare for women, it just helped everything to progress quickly and to be able to really create, you know, a sustainable practice that, you know, is still kicking today.
Thank you. I want to lead with that. There are so many women who get
the sense that they're being dismissed or who have experienced being dismissed or sort of told they're crazy. I've experienced a bit of that, as I shared with you in the green room. And I'm very fortunate to be able to pivot and like go pay out of pocket and get reimbursed by insurance later. Not everybody gets to do that. So I just change providers. I just keep going till I find someone who can help me. And that's basically what I did. And you know, I have eyebrows again. So yay. But yay. I think not everybody knows, first of all, that there are other options. Like we've kind of been raised to believe that like, if a doctor says it, that's, you know, God's holy word. And so that's that, you know, and I think I have a lot of respect for physicians, so I'm not in any way saying that that's not it, but that lack of satisfaction or a lack of returning to health or getting, reclaiming some percentage of health must be incredibly frustrating for, you know, for women. And so now you have clients who get to reclaim their health and probably take back so much of their lives. Cause y'all, oh my gosh, yeah, all those symptoms, all the things, being in pain, having debilitating menstrual cycles or not having them at all and wanting to desperately to have a baby or something, right? Whatever that spectrum is, that's not living. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the healing of the physical symptoms is one thing, but really ultimately the goal is to give women the ability to, you know, get in the driver's seat of their own health and to be able to show up in life fully, right? Without being bogged down by symptoms, without feeling so preoccupied by food thoughts and diets and, you know, can I eat this or I'm eliminating this right now? And it's just, it's mayhem for women out there, you know, with diet culture messaging, with sort of the lack of support in our conventional healthcare system, it's really tough. And oftentimes when women aren't getting the support that they are looking for from conventional healthcare, they resort to the self-research and, you know, Dr. Google and end up on these, you know, restrictive plans and elimination diets. And we always say to women that we work with, achieving whole body health involves, yes, you know, the physical nourishment with food and the lifestyle strategies and, you know, healing some of these physical symptoms and having a healthy, flexible relationship with food, having a healthy relationship with your body. And these things are just wildly overlooked. And I think that's something that does make us a little bit unique or, you know, in my experience makes us a little bit unique really with helping women achieve both, because it shouldn't be one or the other, but yeah, it's really tough navigating, care in our healthcare system. And I want to call out too, to your point, I think, you know, it's not, you know, always a provider problem. Certainly there's, you know, providers that maybe aren't willing to spend the time with an individual or to refer out or to really do that investigative work. But from, you know, on a larger scale, the whole system is broken, right? Where no one can provide good care. I don't, you know, care what your training is, how amazing of a practitioner you are. If you have 20 minutes with someone, how on earth are you going to be able to provide adequate, comprehensive support in that context?
Yeah, especially if part of the solution involves behavioral change. I don't think you can get buy-in and an understanding in 20 minutes.
Absolutely.
Certainly
absolutely
can't not inspire that motivation, right? Because that motivation kicks in after we've taken action on the inspiration, right? So yeah, I think that's, I've seen with, I'm trying to think if it's almost all of our clients have said that they started their private practices because they wanted to spend more than 15 minutes with their patients when necessary. If it's just a quick check-in, 15 minutes is adequate. But most of our clients spend an hour with their patients. Yeah. Because they're, you know, they're just like, I tried it the other way. And I felt dissatisfied. The system, I didn't feel like I was fitting in the system. So I decided to come outside of the system and do it my way.
And there's it's one of the reasons why we do what we do in our company is so that we can continue to have these private practices and so that we can empower these providers to like handle the business piece and get it solid so they can come back to doing what they do best. And so I'm all goose pimply and like on fire now.
I just so appreciate what you do, because as a practitioner, a clinician, I didn't receive any business training.
No, there's none.
holy moly. And it's challenging. And so, you know, really grateful for you and individuals that are doing the type of work that you are doing, because it's transformational in terms of allowing practitioners to work in their zone of genius and to be able to start to really change what's happening in our current healthcare system. But I know for me, it was really intimidating, starting out and trying to figure out the business and the logistics and how to balance it all. Absolutely worth it. And certainly was not a perfect process or a walk in the park. Hindsight's always 20/20, but that's a hard piece of things, I think, for clinicians that really want to do things differently, but there's, barriers and roadblocks in terms of the business piece and training there.
Yeah, for sure. So let's talk about that a little bit, your business journey. So you started this as like a side gig, and at some point you took the leap. Was that terrifying?
It was terrifying and so exciting at the same time. And, something I've learned, in the years that I have had my business is that whenever I'm on the verge of doing something big and really impactful, usually a lot of fear shows up. And it's, I think I've learned to lean into that more so. And I think that was really the case back then. I was just very unhappy in that traditional kind of outpatient setting. And I think once I started seeing clients on my own and got a taste of how I could actually support women, I was just ready and was ready to take the leap. Yes, it was, nerve-wracking, I think, especially from a financial perspective and just not, having some uncertainty there. But if I didn't take that leap, I wouldn't, I needed to let go of the full-time position in order to actually grow the business. And I don't think there was ever going to be a perfect time to do it. And I think it just had to feel right ultimately.
Yeah, that's the way it is, right? I mean, sometimes people just really need to do the practical thing, like get close to replacing their income and go, and 100% support and appreciate that. And everybody has a different situation, but it does come to a point where it's like, this is a tipping point, right? It's either now or probably never, or waiting so long that I lose some kind of momentum, right? And absolutely. So it's kind of intuitive, but it's also a really smart move, because that's why you're still like on fire and hungry, and not literal hunger, but that kind of hunger is what can really drive us to be willing to do the work and to put it in. Cause it's not easy building a business. I mean, I joke about this. I don't know if it's funny. I think it's funny, but if you ever want to have multiple dark nights of the soul, I advise you to start your own business. But those 3 a.m. cold sweats usually are what birth brilliance. So the waking 100%. Up drenched in sweat and like, having a paralysis dream or whatever your anxiety dream is, and going, you know what I can do? Boom. That's what I'm going to do. Right. Like, but it's that care and that commitment. And I think the desire to do things, differently, that really is the driver. I have yet to meet, either in conversation or with clients, a practice owner who is not very mission driven. And there's a really strong why. It wasn't just, and making lots of money could be part of it, but it's usually not just because, I have more earning potential as a practice owner and private provider. Also, it's like, it's the freedom, it's the balance, it's I want to spend an hour with my patients. I don't think that I can help them make the behavioral change in 15 minutes. So what's the point? right? I had one client who was like, I started feeling like a drug dealer. I was pushing pills because I had 15 minutes and that was what the insurance would allow. Don't even get started on insurance, right?
Like, I know.
So, you know, the system, it's funny. We say it's broken. I actually think it's fixed. And because it's tied into profitability, it's really, it's a problem, especially on the insurance side. But all of that set aside, we have what we have. We have to figure out how to work with it, right? Or work around it. And it sounds like that's what you've chosen to do, is that you've worked around it. Would you call, like, are you allowed, like, legally to call what you do a medical service, or is it more on the coaching side?
Yeah. So we provide medical nutrition therapy. And we do, I actually did accept insurance early on when I started my practice, which I really wanted to do, and ultimately found that I could not practice the way that I wanted to within the constraints of an insurance model, even in a private practice with billing insurance directly. And that was just my, you know, my experience. I know that's not, you know, the experience for all practitioners, depending on what they're doing. But, you know, I ended up leaving insurance and just accepting private pay, which was a hard transition for me. And there was a lot of guilt associated with that initially. But I've found that there's so many incredible ways to make my services accessible to women. We do create, you know, super bills and bill for medical nutrition therapy so people can get reimbursement often, using HSA, FSA, creating other types of programs. And I'm very grateful that I left the insurance, you know, kind of or left being contracted with insurance companies, because I think it would have been the same vicious cycle where I couldn't have sustained a business that I loved, and I couldn't provide the kind of depth of services I wanted to provide if it was all about volume, right? Which is kind of what insurance is based on at the end of the day.
So you get to use a different business model. And based on what you told me about how you offer services, like you have now an evergreen program that's self-directed, right? And then you can also have like group programs and one-on-one support. That's from a business perspective. So our friends who are listening, who maybe don't think they're very business savvy, that's scalable. And in business, we like scale. You don't need to be building an empire to focus on scale. You need to find a way where you can have, you know, predictable revenue cycles, and you know where your new patients or clients are coming from, and you know, you have those systems in place. Your model is scalable. And I'm going to go out on a limb, and you can confirm or deny this, that you probably don't work as much as you did when you're in the hospital setting, or at least patient time.
Oh, that is very, very accurate. And there's time spent on, you know, things outside of, you know, clients and FaceTime, but it's just, the day-to-day is very, very different.
Yes. Yeah. And you, do you work mostly from home?
Yes.
Too? Like from a home office?
Yep. Yeah. Fully remote.
I love it. See, that's brilliant. If there's a way to do that, I recommend it. My commute is 22 seconds.
it's interesting. I was kind of forced into that actually with COVID, and I used to have a full-time office, and I would see, you know, in downtown Boston, and I would see probably 90% of my clients in person. There was a couple people I would see virtually, or small number of people, but I had this belief that I had to have a physical presence. Mm-hmm. And rent in Boston is not inexpensive. Starting out, a big expense for a new practice owner, but I felt, you know, very strongly I needed to have this physical presence. And with COVID and not being able to go into my office, and everyone transitioning to virtual and telehealth, and kind of not skipping a beat, I realized, wow, I can, you know, actually do this without the overhead, and it's actually better for my clients because there's flexibility with appointment times. I have more flexibility, so you know, it wasn't a decision I had intended to make, but I'm, you know, really, really happy that I'm fully virtual now and would not do it any other way.
It's really convenient. I mean, there are certain things that we need to be seen in person for, right?
Of course.
And obviously that's not this type of business model won't apply to every provider, but the part that could be virtual could be that could, you know, I'm talking business now. That could be your cash cow, right? That could be the place where you really generate the revenues and then you come over and spend the time on doing the things that you love or sort of the daily stuff that's not necessarily about making money, but more about serving. And you can do mm-hmm. both, right? I mean, this is the thing that I think a lot of people deal with, like guilt from focusing. A lot of helpers, people in helping professions, struggle with the guilt around having a desire to make good money while providing a service that's caring for people. And this is some mindset work, right? But it's okay to want to make really good money while serving.
100%. And I relate to that so deeply in terms of the guilt. And, you know, anytime I, you know, increased my, you know, prices, you know, there was this kind of knee-jerk reaction to, oh my gosh, I need to work harder and work longer hours. And, you know, this association I created with, okay, if I'm charging more, I must, you know, grind and, you know, drive myself into the ground, you know, working as hard as possible. And ultimately it was a lot of mindset work that helped me to get over that and to also recognize like there has to be alignment in, you know, what I am charging. I have to, there has to be a balance there. If, you know, I'm not charging what feels good for me, for my, you know, in my services and for, you know, me to have a, you know, a good quality of life, there's going to be resentment there. There's going to be, you know, turmoil with that. And, so that was definitely a lot of, you know, kind of mindset work that I had to kind of tease through over the years. And, you know, ultimately now too, I've realized that, you know, there's no matter what I charge, whether it be a $49, you know, guide, a $100 course, a much more, you know, expensive, you know, program or one-on-one coaching program, there are always going to be individuals that don't feel that, you know, it's the right, you know, price. And that's okay. And I think that was a big thing for me just in terms of, you know, I don't need to convince anyone what the value of, you know, my offer is. And if they don't see that, then, you know, maybe I'm not for them and that's okay. But I think practitioners, often just sell themselves short and there is, you know, kind of the money mindset issues that, can hold us back or can lead to kind of what we experience in a conventional setting where we're, you know, undercharging, we're overworked, there's misalignment and you burn out.
Mm-hmm. We don't want that. We do not want the burnout. I invite our listeners who, you know, if this is resonating with you, to really consider doing some money mindset work, whatever that is. It's in therapy or with coaching or, you know, listening to or reading books about money, especially about the mindset around money. Because when you, especially when you get into a cash system, right, a self-pay, now you become a salesperson. And there's so many negative connotations with that, but literally walking and breathing and being passionate about what you do is selling. So you don't have to go and learn how to sell. You just need to present the options, right? But it's, I have struggled with it. You know, coaching is a helping profession and I had to like work it out in therapy and coaching because I was like, I don't know what that's all about, but woo, let me tell you, like I keep stopping myself from living a great life.
Yeah. You know? So relatable. And I, you know, kind of struggled with the same thing and this fear of being salesy, you know, and that was really hard for me. And, you know, I think ultimately, you know, with working with coaches and kind of teasing all of that apart, I realized like, you know, if I'm not talking about what I do and who I serve and sharing what I offer, how am I going to reach the women that really need my support? And I think, I really have tunnel vision at this point, which I did not have early on, because I was afraid of the judgment or what will someone say or what will they think? And, you know, then you kind of go inside your own shell and it, you know, can become paralyzing. And I think now I know who I'm speaking to. And if I'm not talking about what I do, if I'm not sharing what I offer, there are women out there that are missing out potentially on an opportunity to get the support that they need. If I'm talking about what I do and my offers and someone doesn't like that, they can unfollow me. They can unsubscribe. They're, you know, I'm not for them, and that's okay. That was a hard thing for me to process. And I can say that now, you know, several years ago, that was not the case. And, but I think really just connecting with my why, my purpose, my mission, and also just thinking about the women that I'm looking to support and that really need me is motivating and kind of helped me get to that place or to kind of get over, you know, the fear of being salesy.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I really love that. Thank you for sharing that. it's a challenge, right? But it's so worth it. And maintaining focus is really key. So where can people go to learn more about what you do or to connect with you in other ways? Where's the best place?
Yeah. So they can check me out on my website, which is jilliangreaves.com. They can also follow me on Instagram or on social media. My handle is jilliangreavesrd.
Okay. We'll make sure everything's clickable in the show notes for that. Thank you. So one final question, your parting wisdom. If you could give one piece of advice to someone who's either contemplating going into a private practice or is there and maybe, you know, needs to hear this, what would it be?
Ah, that's tough. I feel like there's so many things. I think what I would maybe, I think my biggest piece of advice would be that to be yourself and to remember that there is only one you. It doesn't matter if there are people doing similar things or that, you know, people have a similar niche or they're farther along in business. You have amazing things to offer. And I, you know, would really encourage people to lean into that and remember that what they have to offer is beautifully unique and no one else can do that. So that would be my piece of advice.
That's wonderful. Wonderful sage advice. Jillian, what a wonderful conversation. I knew it would be. I'm so thrilled to have met you and thank you for sharing your journey and your wisdom with us.
Thank you so much for having me. This was so much fun and I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. So enjoyed this conversation with Jillian. Her insights and story about how she chose the business model for her practice and what she's learned along the way impressed me. And I'm sure that if you've been considering coming off of some insurance plans or all, or transitioning to complete private pay, you will also gain some insights. We learned that by shifting your business model to help you have more predictable income and increase your earnings without working more, you can set yourself up for success and markedly improved job satisfaction. Remember, you are in a helping field and commanding rates that align with your expertise and the value you provide is not something to feel guilty for. It's important to embrace a different money mindset when it comes to leading your own practice. If you enjoyed this episode, please make sure to leave a review so more practice owners like you can learn from myself and our incredible guests. Be sure to subscribe so you can listen for more expert tips and strategies to help you grow your practice without burnout. If you'd like to be part of our growing community of practice for provider owners like you, join us at one of our upcoming meet and greet events. Go to thrivingpracticecommunity.com and click on Join the Waiting List to learn more. All the links are in the show notes. Thanks for listening, and until next time, take care.